Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan Jesse Go, of course, the world's premier kaiju fan podcast.
We're talking Mothra. We're talking Godzilla. And you know we're going to get into Gamera.
Oh, we're getting
He loves children.
We're getting into Gamera this week. But I had an idea, Jordan.
Hmm.
I know that usually on our show...
Oh, you want to talk about Mecha King Ghidorah. All right. I guess we could change. We could switch it up a little bit.
I mean, I was going to suggest we talk about Pacific Rim.
Mm.
But...
Sure. It's a more current kaiju feature.
I have an alternative.
I don't like the new stuff.
Really?
Sorry, I'm a...
You prefer the classics?
Yeah.
I just collect the trading cards.
Mm.
Here's my idea.
It's amazing that we're just getting into this now, considering how we've, yeah. The premise of this is that we've been doing this podcast.
We've been doing this for 500 episodes, yeah. Here's my idea, Jordan.
Yeah.
We have a stand-up comic here with us.
Oh.
We found her down in the parking area mm-hmm. of our building.
Yeah.
And
there's a great little mic down there, by the way. Great little open mic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Assuming maybe that's why she was hanging
out. I've been looking for a chance to get some stage time in a parking garage. Mm-hmm. I would like this week on Jordan Jesse Go, instead of doing the whole kaiju thing, getting into favorite characters, favorite victims, mm-hmm. favorite powers, favorite figures, favorite trading cards, favorite countries.
Sure.
Japan is mine.
Yeah.
Classic
kaiju target.
Yeah. I think that instead of doing that, we should just have a comedian sit in with us and we'll just talk about whatever comes to mind.
Hell yeah.
You're on board
for this?
You
know what? I'm into it. I have no more opinions on Gamera, honestly.
Okay. Well, this week's guest...
Thank you. This is a load off my ass.
This week's... God, I'd hate to have you have an overloaded ass.
Yeah, boy.
It can cause tipping.
Mm-hmm.
That's unsafe. This week's guest on Jordan Jesse Go, beloved guest... Beloved regular guest on Jordan Jesse Go. Once every 4 years, she comes and visits us. She's the star and creator of the smash hit Amazon television program, One Mississippi. She is a beloved stand-up comedian. She has on some Clark's brand boots. Her name, Tig Notaro. Hi, Tig.
Hi.
Striped socks, too. You should actually...
Oh, gee whiz.
When you mentioned the boots, we got a peek at the socks, and I liked them.
I normally wear Argyle socks every day of my life, and today is casual Friday.
You're going to eschew the formality of Argyle socks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I have two things to say right off the bat.
Yes. Yeah.
My wife is filming Pacific Rim 2 right
Really?
Now. Right now.
She's the director of photography or she's an actress in it?
She's an actress.
Okay.
And doesn't have like a leading role or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. I don't know what Pacific Rim is, but I just know she's been shooting.
Are you and your wife close?
We're very close. I don't think she knows what Pacific Rim is.
Sure. She's pretty sure she's Charlie Day.
Yeah.
No.
He was in the first one.
One of the Pacific Rim.
I can't even believe I'm recognizing the reference.
Yeah.
That's how much I'm not familiar.
Was Idris Elba in it?
Yes. He was the, general who gave the general speech.
I liked it.
Me too.
I got a kick out of Pacific Rim.
Yeah, Tig, I mean, this is great. I mean, you might get to, you should watch the first one so then when you guys are at the red carpet premiere, you'll know what's going on.
Listen, yeah. I'm on a press tour promoting the fact that my wife is filming Pacific Rim 2.
Sure.
Forget One Mississippi.
Yeah. Thanks for making the time for us, Tig. We always appreciate that.
Well, listen, this is only, I think, the second time I've made time to be on this show. And this is the other thing.
It's like the fourth or fifth time.
No,
you've made time
I've been
to be
on Bullseye.
For you've been on Jordan Jesse Go several times. You were on Jordan Jesse Go once on a legendary episode where we later learned that you were being disagreeable because you weren't sure what a podcast was and you were uncomfortable.
Well, you know what? This, I guess, reminds me that I have a terrible memory because I didn't realize I had already confessed that because I was ready to confess it again. I think about it all the time about how confused I was when I was on that podcast.
We just thought you were doing a bit. Let's get into it.
When you were this is probably, we were doing it in Jesse's house at this point, probably. Yeah. When you were driving over, what did you think was going to happen?
I thought I was just going to be interviewed.
Did we know each other at the time?
I think maybe we had not really met.
Yeah.
So I think I just thought I was going to a typical interview that I would go and do.
Sure, and people were like, when did you know you were funny? How do you deal with hecklers?
And things like that. And so I was sitting there, and my apologies for anyone that heard that episode, heard me come back on this show and mention that I didn't know what a podcast was the first time I was on. And then my third apology is that I'm back on telling the story again with another apology. But yes.
I don't think you've ever told it on air. I think I just know that because it was relayed to me.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
I was sitting there.
In my house.
In your house.
In Mount Washington, I think, yeah.
And y'all were talking about going camping or something, and I was sitting there thinking, I felt like I had misunderstood something, or I really didn't know what was happening. I was at somebody's house and they were recording a story about going camping over the weekend.
You're like, why? What is this? Like,
what am I doing here? And I kept thinking we were going to get into something that had to do with stand-up. I didn't know.
Or really, I mean, I think one of the big problems with Jordan, Jesse, Go, and this is a problem for listeners as well, is that often people are listening and they think, what is this about? What am I doing with my time? Why am I supposed to care about this? You know what I mean? And ultimately, that's why we went to the Kaiju format.
Sure, right.
Is because
not to offer more confusion, a bit we've been doing lately is saying at the top of the show something that the show is not about. And then after a little pitter-patter, we say, you know what? Let's just chat.
Yeah, this is after a very sincere and wholehearted attempt to try and figure out something that we could say at the beginning of the show that would actually explain what was going to happen.
Sure. Okay.
And a sort of a general regret that 10 years ago when we started this program, we did not think ahead and think maybe people would like a show that was about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, listen, you're clearly on the right track.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tig.
We're going strong.
I know what a podcast is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, after that, you were in more situations where
people were talking about camping.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I realized, you can just have a conversation and talk about things like that and people will listen.
A small amount. Yes.
A small amount. But still, they're there. With their ears.
And, of course, you had that show on REI.com for a while where it was just camping.
I ended up having a podcast.
Yeah, I think Professor Blastoff.
Yes, and which I am on a press tour to promote.
So, guys, here's what to check out. Pacific Rim 2, coming to theaters 2019.
Professor Blastoff ended 2015.
Yeah, so I had people that came on that show, and I think they were experiencing a similar thing that I experienced where they weren't quite sure what the show was.
I mean, it was a show with a premise, to its credit. I think you had to bring in homework to be on that show, right?
There was a premise, but it didn't mean that we brought in people that were used to listening to or talking on a podcast.
Right.
And so there was some awkward moments. There were a lot of awkward moments.
What about camping? Do you like camping?
I do love camping, but I haven't gone camping in years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What do you love about it?
Maybe I wouldn't love it anymore. I dated somebody years ago, and we camped all the time. We would just drive up to Big Bear and, you know.
I mean, but here's the thing for me about camping. Mm-hmm. It's I feel like it has these specific appeals, right? One is, it's essentially a drinking game or a drug-using game, sort of like the same way that tailgating is. At the like, nobody wants to have a picnic in a parking lot, but the premise of it is let's all drink a lot of beer, mm-hmm. right? It's just an social excuse to drink a lot of beer. I don't drink, so it's not that's not useful to me. Then there's seeing nature.
You're not a big majesty guy.
No, not at all.
You more like the achievements of man.
Yeah.
you like man taking dominion over the earth. You
exactly.
like evidence that we're the superior species.
Yeah, dominion is exactly the word sure. that I would use. That's great diction, Jordan. I feel like dominion is what I want from nature. I want to know in nature that I'm running the show, mm-hmm. ultimately.
Where can I plow through nature?
Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to roll over nature, plow through nature, dig under nature.
Sure.
All these things are fine with me. I just don't want to be in nature at the whim of nature. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be at nature's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I do like about camping is fucking.
Mm.
Like a tent is a great place to have sex.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Especially if there's not other people too nearby.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like they can be a little bit
well,
nearby.
Well, yeah, it depends yeah. if you are sure. camping at like a KOA type
yeah.
place.
Where, Campgrounds of America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then you got to be worried about whether the family circus are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a family appropriate activity if...
Sure, you don't want Jeffy running
Jeffy.
In when you're... When you're Jeffy. In an intimate situation. I also dated a camper for a while.
Yeah.
And while I was doing it, I think we had a fun time. We had a fun time together camping, and I'm like, you know what? Because we didn't do it as kids. Like I did not come from an outdoorsy family. But I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm a camping guy. And then we broke up, and I was like, oh, no, I didn't like that. I was trying to be like positive and like a joiner that gets into someone else's.
How
interests.
Many camping trips did you go on?
We did. This was a 4 or 5 camp long relationship.
Amount.
Yeah,
it's a good amount of camping.
Yeah.
What are we looking at? Like a once a month situation every six to 8 weeks? Like a
no, I think
like
once a month
a really...
is it's probably once a month. It was she was a once a month camper.
How long has it been since you've camped, Tig?
I think since that girl and I broke up.
What
which was. Probably, I think we broke up in 2001.
Yeah.
Were there any?
Pacific Rim wasn't even out yet.
No.
That's
no.
how long ago it was.
Yeah.
And
I was like, you're not even in, you know, she
yeah.
wasn't even
right.
going to be.
Wasn't even
yeah.
looking over sides
find,
for the audition.
Yeah, I need to find a woman.
Like,
yeah,
you're great.
It's going to be in Pacific Rim.
Thank
this
you.
Is clearly not you.
At best, she was looking to audition for that Godzilla movie where the Godzilla looked kind of like an iguana.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Exactly. So what camping activities are you and are you not on board for?
Well, I'm all about cooking on the,
yeah.
the fire. And I'm also
that
all
is
about
really
making
good.
The fire. I am
oh,
the person
yeah.
that can get a roaring flame going.
What's the secret?
Kindling.
mm-hmm.
I mean, you really got to get some good kindling wood. The little tiny... thin pieces, get all that going under the bigger pieces, mm-hmm. and also making kind of a teepee of,
mm-hmm.
I think, this is how I do it.
That sounds right to me.
And there might be
yeah.
fire makers that are listening saying this is all wrong.
Yeah, there's some real flame heads out there
yeah.
going
yeah.
like, oh boy. Check out Johnny Los Angeles over here.
My wife and I.
By the way, you my show Johnny Los Angeles is a companion piece to One Mississippi.
yeah.
It's in the universe. It's in the larger
yeah.
universe.
We went to a cabin in upstate New York. Well, not a cabin, a farmhouse. You know, something that's not a loft in downtown Los Angeles.
right.
Upstate New York.
Something rustic.
Yeah.
yeah.
We were in a rustic place with our babies and my mother-in-law. And I got to really show off in front of everyone. And I made the fire every night. And it was when the babies couldn't even really roll over. And we propped them up at a safe distance. And they just were mesmerized. By
babies them. Love flames. Tig,
yeah.
This is a new development since you've been on last. Two mm-hmm. new babies, twins.
Yep, fraternal twins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Well, when people find out that I have twins and they see them, it's truly insane what a lot of people do, which is immediately say, oh my gosh, how do you tell them apart? And they look nothing alike. And I'm like, I look at Max and this is Max and this is Finn, and there's no, they look nothing alike.
You're not even sure that both babies were born of the same mother. It could have been a hospital mix-up.
I have no idea what happened. I just know I became a parent one day. And I left with the – we really thought it was like in movies when they give you your baby and your baby sits in the big room and you go and look through the glass and we were just – but we were handed babies and we just had to head home with them. And we were both
– yeah, because your free parking was about to run out.
We truly didn't know that that's what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Your familiarity with the world of babies came exclusively through the sitcoms of the 1960s and 70s.
Absolutely. I mean, we did no research. We didn't read anything. We didn't prepare.
Let nature take its course.
We were just like, we're not drug addicts. We're not, you know, we're pretty level-headed, responsible people.
Yeah.
And I bet we can handle this. And we walked away each holding a baby like, oh, my God.
Is that it?
We just head out?
Do we have to sign something? Yeah. Or
I mean, I think we were there overnight.
To sign them out?
Yeah.
It is a very, very strange time. The time in between when the baby comes out, when the baby emerges, and when you are allowed to go home with the baby. Because you are put... Well, you're in the baby delivery room for a while. At least this was what it was like when our kids were born. You're in the baby delivery room for a while, and whoever has delivered this child is, fairly tired at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having pushed a human being out of them. Yeah, this stork has been
flown a long
ass off. Okay, a lot of flippy flaps, and he's like, "Hey, give me some stork food, like some shrimp or something." Mm-hmm. I don't know what storks eat.
Shrimp
only.
Yeah, well, the baleen storks eat krill.
Oh, okay. Mm.
That's like a period of a few hours, but they like push you out of it and put you in this, you know, like maternity room that's not the delivery room. But they don't let anyone there sleep or be happy at all. Like, it's a constant stream of people coming in and out and telling you to rest.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like any hospital experience.
It's so strange.
They come in and wake you up, check your vitals every 2 hours, and it's...
And they're like, and be sure to get plenty of rest. Yeah. And you're like, that's right. You were borderline dead for like 2 months at one point. Yeah, like, I don't understand... If I was running healthcare reform instead of these clowns in Congress,
Oh boy, I don't want to get you started, but sure.
Right. I mean, these guys' best idea of how to solve the healthcare problem, Tig, just for your information, is to aim a seltzer bottle square at it. These clowns. But if I were in charge of this process, the first thing I would start with is, hey, how about let's let people take a fucking nap?
For sure.
More naps. Tig, how is the cat adjusting to the babies?
The cat's been really good. We have a cat, Jesse. Jesse.
Yeah, I'm Jesse.
I was trying to think. I was talking to the wrong person. but we have a cat, and we were warned that the cat might use the cribs as litter boxes.
It's kind of an aggressive shitting.
Yeah.
Try to steal the baby's breath.
Right. Or even the baby.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been really, really good. It's surprising. And
shitting where she should be. And...
Yeah, still using the toilet.
That's nice.
Still using our bed.
Yeah.
But
you call your bed the toilet.
Yeah. We call everything the toilet.
Let's hop into
our
the
house
toilet.
Is the toilet. car is the toilet.
Yeah, it's like they say, it's like Eskimos have 50 words for snow. You call everything the toilet.
This chair
you only
I've
have
been sitting on one during this podcast.
One word for home goods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it really goes in with your like nihilist worldview too. Mm-hmm. Like this is all just a toilet.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, God is dead. And,
who cares about anything?
Yeah.
Right.
But I think we're good parents, even though we don't care about we've brought babies into living in a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
But the cat, our babies are very much walking and chasing the cat around.
Yeah.
And she never swats at them or bites them or hisses.
That's nice.
Or she just kind of tries to move to not get touched or stepped on. And when they cry, she goes in and checks on them.
Oh, get out of town.
It's true.
Get out of town.
It's true. Our one son, Max, does not like having a bath.
Mm-hmm.
And he screams when you wash his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll come in and stand on her hind feet with her paws up on the tub and
you mean
look
the
in.
The swimming toilet.
Yeah, the toilet that we're cleaning, the baby.
We don't have to keep that premise up. Being exhausting.
I'm open.
Yeah.
Because it is actually our toilet.
Sure.
That we're cleaning them in.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it sounds maybe made up or exaggerated, but it is not. She checks on the babies when they cry.
Have your feelings about the cat changed since you've had children? I feel like that was the main thing people told me was, you know, you may like your dogs now, but once you have children, they're just going to become a hindrance to you.
Oh, no.
An inconvenience.
No. And the cat is by far my wife's soulmate, and that bond has not stopped at all.
Oh, that's nice.
Did she have the cat before the two of you were together?
No. We were going to get our wedding invites done, and I dropped her off at the place and was going to go find parking. And when I parked, I saw an animal adoption going on,
like a fair, like a street fair situation with the wall of cages.
It was a wall of cages and one Ferris wheel. So
a cotton candy machine.
Animals in each.
A cotton candy machine, which also had animals in it,
and is also a toilet.
Yeah.
So I parked, and then I saw this cat, and then when we were leaving, I said, "By the way, I parked by what I think is our new cat."
Ah.
And she went and looked at it, and then we drove.
But that's really sweet that it's also kind of tied to you guys getting married, like it had something, it was, you know, a stop on the wedding planning.
It felt like a big, big deal.
Yeah.
That we were adopting an animal together, and it felt like, even though we already lived together, it felt like, okay.
Yeah.
We are in this.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And we hadn't even bought a house together yet, but just we're living together and we have a cat and there's no turning back now.
Sure.
Yeah. My wife and I had been together for 10 or 12 years before we got a dog.
Wow.
And
when
When we got a dog, it seemed like the biggest fucking deal in the world to me. I was like, there's no way I'm letting some fucking dog tie me down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no way.
Daddy's got to fly.
I'm a free spirit, baby. Yeah. I gotta go hither and yon.
Yeah.
Then once we got a dog, I was like, oh, yes, I've always been a person who stays at home with his dog. What was I thinking that I wanted to be free? I don't want to be free.
I had never wanted to get married. I'd wanted kids, but I never wanted to be married. And then when I met Stephanie, I was like, oh, all I want is to be married to this person. And I really have settled into marriage and kids and neighborhood walks. And Stephanie laughs at me left and right because I don't like talking to strangers typically.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, try to stop me while we're on a stroll. If somebody has a puppy or a baby, I'll stop and I'll chit-chat. And Stephanie's just like, who are you? And I'm just like, this, funny enough, is the real me. This is
who you have always been, but there was a veneer you were putting
well,
up.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of times talking to strangers, it's inauthentic interactions, and I'm not great at that. And so I'm very stiff, and if I'm
As though you were on a podcast, but you shouldn't know what a podcast was.
Yeah, I can't play along if I am not feeling it or whatever.
Right.
I'm feeling it 1,000,000% when people have children or animals.
Right.
And my heart opens up when I see them headed towards us.
Yeah.
And that's
what we call the Grinch effect.
Yeah. And it's very much an authentic interaction for me.
Huh.
And I am the most open, chatty. I've like said, hey, we should exchange numbers.
Sure.
And Stephanie is just
let's do a project together.
I really can't believe who you are.
Have you ever produced a comedy album?
Sure.
Who are some strangers that you've met now that you're just saying hello to strangers? Anybody interesting? Has there been anybody you've actually kept in touch with?
Well, there's people. We walk the babies twice a day.
Yeah.
And so
you got to tire them out so that you can dominate them.
Sure.
Yes. Correct.
Like nature.
Cesar Milan. Ooh. Yeah.
But there are people on our walk that we see regularly.
Yeah. Other neighborhood walkers.
Exactly. And there's this older woman, Rachel, that has coffee at the coffee shop right near our house. And she knows Max and Finn's names. And she's like, oh, his hair is a little more blonde than last week, I think. And, you know, that kind of interaction. Whereas normally I'd be like, all right, lady, keep it moving, you know, and I buzz on by. But now I'm like, yeah, I think it is. It is kind of turning a little more blonde, and I can't believe I'm having this conversation.
Let's go to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
I have the same instinct. Mm-hmm. I also love a neighborhood walk. There's nothing I love more than a neighborhood walk. It is the greatest joy of my life. Mm-hmm. I think because I grew up going on neighborhood walks to escape my broken home.
Oh.
But like I love to go on a neighborhood walk, and for God's sake do I love. I couldn't love talking to a child under 7 or petting a dog.
Sorry, 8-year-olds.
More than, yeah. More in
get cuter, assholes.
There's nothing
I called you assholes.
No greater pleasure in my life than doing those two things. However, in the past few years, I have simultaneously grown a giant beard and become significantly bald.
Okay.
And I was already 6'3" tall and 210 pounds.
You've just described my wife.
And so I would say 50% of the time, if I smile at someone, compliment their pet, say hello to their child, they react as though I have said, would you like me to kidnap you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is a major issue in my life.
You have no plans to kidnap.
You can be honest. This is a
I understand
safe
kidnapping.
Space. Yeah.
I understand hoarding animals.
Mm-hmm. I have not kidnapped, okay? I wouldn't say that I haven't had kidnapping ideation, but I have not kidnapped. There's a dog in my neighborhood that I call Tall Coco because he looks like my dog Coco if my dog Coco were taller. My dog Coco is some kind of weird mix of dogs, and it's very rare to see a dog that looks like my dog. So it's thrilling to me to see this dog. Absolutely thrilling. And this nice couple owns this dog. About my age, have a beautiful child sometimes. Sometimes they're jogging. Sometimes they're walking the dog. Sometimes they're pushing the little baby in a pram, which is what I call it because I'm a British nanny.
Sure.
And I have probably 3 times tried to talk to them and each time have been firmly rebuffed. But I'm so drawn to this dog that I can't bring myself to let it pass without trying to be their friend and, like, pet the dog. Like, I'll be like, I got to show you a picture of my dog. And like, look, it looks like your dog. And they're like, yes, wait, but who?
Yeah.
Like, get away from me,
quit
creep man.
To kidnap us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a major problem in my life.
Yeah, I'm truly the same person handing out my phone number. Even like our next door neighbors came by, brought us presents and gave us all their contact information. And I was like, oh, so nice to meet you. You guys should come over for dinner. We should all hang out. And again, closed the door. And Stephanie was like,
Now, is she
wow?
Is she a? Is she just surprised because this is such a switch in you, or is she a person who is like, I don't like to engage with randos?
No, it's because of the switch in me.
Yeah,
because I've always through my whole life, my career, everything, I've been trying to slowly move forward in having a family. Mm-hmm. I always thought I'd have a rotating partner. Mm-hmm. I never thought that I would find somebody I'd want to spend my life with. But
when you say a rotating partner, like yes. A whirling dervish or?
Yeah, Lazy Susan of love.
Got it.
But
just for a while I was dating one of those water-powered mills.
Sure.
The water wheel out. I don't know. She's great. She's great, but, you know, just wasn't meant to be.
Right. I mean, not since the rural electrification project.
Yeah, that was tough on her. That was tough on her.
Roosevelt's
yeah.
program to bring electrical wires to farms.
But, you know, I think she's doing good. I mean, we're friends on Facebook, and it seems like she's doing great. A lot of cool projects.
Good.
I recognize Tig's look of confusion and wonder from the first time she was a guest on this show.
I was like, well, maybe I've never been on a podcast.
Yeah. Sorry, you have it. This is the first one, actually. The other times were just warm-ups.
So you imagined for yourself that you would just some sort of serial monogamist, but you would mm-hmm. obtain children through some.
It was going to be my own thing.
Yeah.
If they were scared of the life I was having with a child in comedy world, then that's fine.
Sure.
But if that interests them, let's be together.
Right.
And then the curveball happened where I met Stephanie. And then wanted to get married. We had kids.
How soon into it? This is a little bit personal, but how soon into it did that? Oh, I'm a marriage person now. Feeling take hold. Like, do you remember when it happened?
I wanted to marry her before we were committed.
Okay.
I was just like, this person is for me. And we had gone out to eat. I think it was a month into dating.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about how I rarely allowed myself to be vulnerable with somebody the way people would be vulnerable with me. And sometimes I guess I didn't quite feel what they were feeling. And I just told myself, you should just tell her how you feel. Mm-hmm. And we were out to eat and I said, this is going to sound completely insane.
But if I get fries, will you have some? I just want some. I don't want a whole thing of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want an entree that doesn't come with fries. Yeah.
I told her that I wanted to marry her. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting a very understandable response of, you need to relax.
Sure.
You know, we're a month in. But she just was like, yeah, that's how I feel. And I was like, what? That's how you feel? I mean, we've been on the same track since, you know, we committed to each other. So it's been nice. And I don't want to bore your listeners with my my joy. People are listening.
Hey, out there,
like,
are you? Yeah. Do you have the perfect life that you've always dreamed of? No, huh? Weird.
I also know that my life, being married with kids and strolling in a neighborhood, maybe sounds like a living hell. So I understand that.
How do you do? Do you like a neighborhood stroll, Jordan?
Oh yeah,
really?
Ooh, I do. Oh yeah, I do. I really do.
Take Bug out there on a leash.
And well, here's a cat related thing about a neighborhood stroll that I really like. This happened to me last night, so this is fresh.
Okay.
And I mean, I know Tig. I know you were a little bit self conscious about coming off like, hey, you know, I'm so happy right now. I've got this thing, and I feel bad because I'm about to one up you.
Okay.
With a little slice from my perfect life.
All right.
So, you know, if you're in the audience and you're turned off by
joy. My life is not perfect, sir.
Sure. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But,
well, let's just be clear.
Well, you might, after this story,
my
you
life
might
is great.
Sure.
It is not perfect.
8 out of 10?
9 out of 10.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Go on.
I mean,
that's almost all.
You have your own streaming show on Amazon Prime.
That's correct. I do.
A wife who's doing everything in her power to defend the world against the kaiju.
I mean,
those are the monsters. Those are the monsters in Pacific Rim. It's like a monster.
We don't know that that's what her part is. She might be on the Kaiju's team.
Well, I should.
She might be cut out.
She might ride. She might right now. She might be doing the mocap work necessary to ride a Kaiju in the movie.
One up me.
So last night, I'm taking a stroll. Around the hood.
This is true.
This is true. This is all true. This has actually happened last night. This is not like, you know, this is not like you when you stand up say like on the way over here.
Yeah,
I had an Uber driver.
I do not do that.
Don't you shouldn't. Yeah.
I do not do
good
that.
Good for you.
You know what I do? I just say I was in an Uber once. I don't say I took
on the
an
way
Uber.
Over here.
I don't ever do that.
You know
no
why?
Way.
You know why I don't do that in my act? Because the fucking PC police.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Oh, jeez.
Don't get me started. Sorry, Jordan.
Yeah.
One up me.
Take a joke. Yeah, maybe.
Come on, guys. So I'm an asshole.
last night, strolling around the neighborhood, and I got not once. Twice on the same stroll, an outdoor cat came up and said hi.
Oh, wow.
Two!
To the point of petting?
Yes!
Oh, wow.
Vigorous petting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Heavy petting.
No, well, I reserve that for human women.
Got it. That's camping trips only.
Sure, yeah. That's I save that for the tent, baby.
That is
yeah.
a nice moment.
It is nice.
Neighborhood cat.
Comes up and...
kind of... Gets up from the lawn they're lounging in, or runs down the sidewalk, and you're like, me?
I could pet you. Yeah. I'm very busy, but I can make time in my day. Yeah, so it was a fat gray one who was very nice, and then a pretty orange one.
Oh.
And they each came up, and I petted, and then I walked a little bit, and then it happened again. It was
the other
just great.
Ran into traffic, and that was the end of that.
Yeah. 9 out of 10, baby.
That's pretty good.
I'm living a 9 out of 10.
I haven't had any cats come up to me in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
A lot of dog walking.
Sure.
And the babies point at the dogs. Mm-hmm.
Do you two pet strange dogs?
Oh, yeah.
Like how strange?
You gotta, sure.
I'm not talking about... like I'm not
wings?
Asking, like, for
bat
example,
wings?
do you pet those
yeah, I
Mexican
pet a dog
hairless dogs, maybe? I've petted one of those Mexican hairless dogs.
But
I kind of liked it.
But say I think you hit on something. It would be concerning if a dog had a top hat. That would be too strange, I think.
It'd be
where'd he get it?
10 out of 10, though.
That would be 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Is that the missing piece for
it
you?
It is, yeah.
Is that what you talk about with your therapist every week? Like, Doc, I'm doing a lot better. In fact, I'm doing pretty damn good, but there's one thing I'm missing.
A dog in a top hat.
Yeah.
To just run on down the road to me. And then I'm 10 out of 10.
My wife has to remind me periodically that you have to check in with the person who's in charge of the dog.
Can't just grab that dog
before you start touching their dog.
Well, I do the thing where I put my hand. Well, you know, people will kind of stop with their dog,
sure,
and then I'll put my hand out for them to sniff my hand.
Yeah,
and then
you just don't want to grab their little face.
Yeah, no, I'm not an infant. I don't just like yank a tail and grab a face.
I've described this phenomenon before, but if I'm traveling, say we recently went to London, England to perform joke shows, with each passing day, I become more and more obsessed with other people's dogs and children walking down the street to the point where, like, after about a week or 10 days of being away from home, just like seeing a mother holding a child, I have to like hold back tears walking down the street because I'm like, oh, children. Yeah. I love children.
I know.
And I don't even like children.
Airports are brutal. Just seeing little kids and people holding their babies. When I'm not with my children, I immediately want them in my arms.
Yeah. Oh, and just any dog that walks by, I will get in. If I'm walking down the street in London, England 10 days ago, I am the ugly American. I am bothering people.
Grabbing dogs.
British people don't want to talk to me about their dog.
Yeah.
They just want to go have their little sandwiches and everything. You know what
I
mean?
Little British sandwiches.
You know, those little cucumbers and mayonnaise or whatever it is that's in there. Maybe
pickles and cheese.
Yeah, just
that one's pretty good.
A classic, something with a gentleman's relish.
Mm-hmm. I'm vegan.
Oh, you can't have gentleman's relish. No. That has anchovies in it.
I can only have lesbian relish.
Got it.
What's in that?
I don't know.
A romantic commitment.
It just sounds like something sure. that I could definitely, yeah. you know,
yeah.
pull that jar off
have
the shelf.
Have on a bagel.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be back in just a second with an update on what exactly lesbian relish is on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hey, we've got some sponsors on this week's program, Jordan. For one thing, our friends at the Casper Mattress Corporation of America.
Now, Caspers are mattresses.
That's true.
That come to your house.
Point granted, Jordan.
And they also come to the house through the mail, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In a special box, a magical process squishes an entire mattress into a delivery-sized box. Not a giant mattress-sized box, but a smaller box that fits right through your front door.
And it apparently features supportive memory foam for a sleep surface that's got just the right sink and just the right bounce.
Bounce, baby!
Oh, is that their new slogan that we wrote for them just now?
Bounce,
Casper Mattresses. Bounce, baby.
Bounce, baby.
Hey, if you want to try this mattress, there's a risk-free trial and return policy. You try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days.
No more, no less.
With free delivery to the U.S. and Canada and painless returns. They're made in America.
Less is acceptable. I want to be clear.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be exactly 100.
And you can do more than 100 as long as you're keeping the mattress.
Sure, sure.
Stuffing it back in the box.
Dan, you're not on.
You're not on this episode.
You're on next week's
episode. Next week's episode. Oh, boy. Jordan Jesse Go listeners can get $50 toward any mattress by visiting casper.com/JJGO and use the promo code JJGO at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
And, of course, we're sponsored this week by our friends at ZipRecruiter. Now, are you a small business owner, Jordan? Of course you are. You've got your own comedy writing consultancy firm.
That's true. I do now. And now that I've got this business that I didn't have 4 seconds ago, I guess I'll need some employees.
Maybe we should use me as an example. I have 12 employees.
Well, or we could assign me a fake business that I don't have for the purpose of promoting ZipRecruiter, a place where you can post your job to over 100 job boards with just one click.
You're going to need a, what do they call that, a writer's assistant?
Sure, sure.
You're gonna pop some pain pills,
mm-hmm.
lie down on your back in the conference room.
Dictate my stories.
They project it on the wall, David Milch style.
Yeah, and here's what you do. I'm going to need that writer's assistant
right.
to type my musings while I gonk out on pain pills.
And you want to find a good one, so you're going to want to go to, like, triple digits job sites. You're going to want to put this thing everywhere. Just blast it out like a crazy out-of-control hose.
Exactly. But instead of spraying your job all over the internet, why don't you just go to ZipRecruiter.com/JJGO, and you can post it to over 100 boards. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day.
That's less than 24 hours, Jordan.
Yeah.
And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/JJGO. That's ZipRecruiter.com/what?
JJGO.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Next week's guest, Dan Kennedy. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Tig Notaro, lesbian relish.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Sexuality aside, I'm relishing this conversation.
Yeah, sure. Wait, are you opposed to lesbianism? Is that what you're suggesting?
I just didn't want it to be an issue.
Oh, okay.
I just see all people as the same.
Oh, I got it. I agree with you, Jordan, because at the end of the day, I'm all about unity.
Mm. Yes.
Let's lock arms to prove that racism doesn't exist. I think is how it works. I haven't watched a lot of football, but that's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
When something momentous happens to you, We ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN for our segment Momentous Occasions. We've got a couple of momentous occasions on the line here. Why don't we take a listen to one?
Yeah, let's listen.
Jordan, Jesse, guest. This is Tim Pasles from Pittsburgh with a momentous occasion of shame.
Wait, can you pause? Can you pause? What did he say? His name was Tempest Fuzz.
I heard Timbuk too.
What did you hear?
I wasn't listening.
Okay, fair enough. Go back to the beginning of this call. I feel like, on the one hand, some people, you know, you could be nervous calling in. You might be worried that Jordan and Jesse, your heroes, are going to bust your chops. Mm-hmm. Certainly, that's going to be a concern. Chop busting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the last thing I want to do. I just want to get to the bottom of what this character's name is. Tempest Fugit?
Maybe.
Jordan, Jesse, guest. This is Tempest Sless from Pittsburgh with a momentous occasion of shame.
Tempest
Sauce. So Friday was
the question. Pause it here. What are you?
Tempest Sauce.
Tempest Sauce? Tempest like the sauce. Shakespeare play?
Tempest Sauce. If you play it back, you'll hear it's Tempest clearly.
Sauce. Okay, it's the sauce that occurs after a great storm.
Let's hear it one more time.
Jordan, Jesse, guest. This is Tempest Slice from Pittsburgh with a momentous occasion.
Pause it there.
Slice. Tempest Slice.
Tempest Fudge is what I heard. Tempest Fudge.
This isn't my show, but I'm going to go ahead and say, could you play that again?
Yeah, you have to listen to Tig.
Now.
Do it.
Friday was...
God damn it.
Jordan, Jesse, guest. This is Tempest Slice from Pittsburgh with a momentous
Tempest Slice.
Here's what I heard. I'll say, I just want to weigh in.
Yeah.
I think it's Tempest Flux, which sounds like the MacGuffin in a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Like we have to acquire the Tempest Flux.
Yeah. I liked Tempest Sauce because it sounded like something you would buy from your favorite vendor, Zatarain's.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm going to say Tempest Flux. Mm-hmm. Is good, yeah, because at the bare minimum, he has psychic powers.
Oh, yeah.
Like psychokinetic powers. Sure. Like he can shake things and...
Sure.
Right?
He can't.
Yeah. He'll be turned into a human battery at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Those are always fun.
Let's take a listen.
Shame. So Friday was my boyfriend's birthday. We went to a nice steak place to celebrate. And after our meal, he went to the bathroom. And 2 to 3 to 4 minutes passed, and I said, I wonder if he's okay in there. So I get into the bathroom, and I notice there's someone in the stall. No one else is there. And I kind of, get up close to it, and I'm like, you okay in there, babe? And nothing happens. And I say, whatever, he's an adult, he's fine. And I get him back, and I go to my booth, and who is waiting for me but my boyfriend? Oh, no, I have just asked from a stranger if he's okay in there, babe. I guess it could have gone worse. He could have been like, what the fuck you say? Or or any number of weird sex things. I love the show, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you would have had sex with him.
For sure.
And you'd have to make arrangements for that. I mean, I don't know what your relationship is like, but with my wife, we have.
Described a lot of it.
Yeah, she's pretty sincere. Were you not paying attention, Jesse?
My wife
I'm
and
happy.
I
ten
have
out of 10.
My wife and I have an understanding that if I go to a bathroom, mm-hmm. knock on the stall, and say, "Are you okay in there, babe?" and then I end up having sex with that person, that's A-okay.
Yeah, that's what we call a stall pass. Of course, there's the hall pass.
Yeah,
famous.
Yeah.
Thing that happens for real.
Yeah, that definitely is a real thing that definitely happens.
I like that. I think he was saying them as separate thoughts, but I like how he's like, oh, or the guy could have gone, or some other weird sex thing. I like to this guy, someone going, is erotic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not erotic.
Yeah. It could be autoerotic.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, it's me.
Now,
a sex guy.
Can I tell you a non-sex bathroom story?
Please. Yeah, of course.
I insist.
And this is Stephanie, my wife's story, but she went into a bathroom once. This is really so great.
bathroom, of course, home of the toilet.
Home of the toilet. There is a woman in the stall. Stephanie's waiting outside. Mm-hmm. And then there's another woman in the bathroom. Waiting next to Stephanie. And the woman in the stall is clearly elderly and is like, Gertrude, are you there? And the woman, Gertrude, or whoever, says, yes, I'm standing here with a strange woman. Now, from her olden days,
right.
Strange woman just means a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then Girdle left, and Stephanie was standing there, and then woman in the stall was struggling with some business on the toilet, and then she called for Girdle, and then Stephanie said, oh, she left. And then the woman in the stall did not respond to Stephanie, and Stephanie said, do you need help? And the woman did not respond.
Don't talk to strangers.
Well, I think she was on the on the toilet trying to figure out, wait, did she mean like a strange woman standing here? Or is it a stranger?
Right. Is, like, is this a normal person I don't know? Like that dog we're all careful
of. Yeah. And so Stephanie kept trying to help her or, you know, coax her into responding, and the woman would not respond. So
it's a very difficult context in which to establish normalcy.
Yeah. Yes.
There's not really, like, you can't just say, I'm not a weirdo. I'm just here to poop.
To offer bathroom assistance.
Yeah.
I was in a stall once next to a woman who, oh, God. She had a small child, a son, that was not old enough.
She gave birth to him in the stall?
I don't know where this guy was born.
Okay.
Right. But at the time.
Could have been a water birth.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, yeah.
She was pooping in the stall next to me, and that her son was clearly not old enough to be outside of the stall on his own.
Right.
So she had him trapped in the stall with her while she was pooping. And then he was saying, oh, mommy, it stinks.
And she
was like, shh, shh, be quiet. And he was like, no, I want to get out.
Oh, my
God. It stinks. And this poor woman was just trapped on the toilet with her, like, three-year-old.
You'll learn this within a year, Tig. You'll learn about this situation. There is no more vulnerable place to be in the world than sitting on a toilet while a child is free in your toilet space. Because that child is a full wild card.
Yeah.
That child could do anything at any time. My children frequently think it would be great to throw wide the door, for example. That's like the top thing that happens.
Right.
Or to say a weird and specific thing. It is terrifying. Because when your pants are down and you're sitting on the toilet, there's no response you can have. You can only do a kind of half rock forward. That's the furthest you can go to manage the situation.
Yeah.
So if you're like in a gas station bathroom, like a single stall bathroom where you can't, where the door is just too far away for you to manage it, you can only use your wits. Yeah. You have no physical power over your child. You can only trick them into not opening the door and pointing at you.
Oh, my gosh.
Seems like maybe something that I could do for you know, preparation for parenthood, just practice fast pooping.
Yeah.
So you're just out of that situation quick.
You should have been doing that your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I blew it.
Yeah, you really did.
You know, no kids for me, I guess.
Wish that woman had just said, yes, mommy's pooping. You have to wait.
Yeah.
It would be.
It smells. That's what poop smells like. Poop smells.
Yeah. When you poop, it smells.
Yeah. Bad. I've cleaned up. I've smelled your poop.
Yeah.
I was driving my son, Oscar, to school. The other day. My son Oscar is 3.5 years old. And look, I think a lot of people might have inflated ideas about how I go. I'm just a regular guy. Put my pants on one leg at a time. I know that a lot of people out there look up to me or admire me, but I just want them to know I'm just a regular Joe just like them, and I farted in the car. And it was a little bit of a smelly fart. Not an extraordinarily smelly fart, but a little bit of a smelly fart. And Oscar was in the back seat. And he smelt it, but he did not understand who had dealt it. He was unable to infer who had dealt it. And he
suspected it might have been him. Were there others in the car?
That's the thing. He doesn't yet understand that farts smell bad, and that they
what are you teaching this kid?
Always
What's
come
he
out
learning
of,
at this fancy school.
He's been around for 3.5 years.
They
and
always
on.
Come out of someone's butt. So that's like two yeah. levels of sort of inference and deduction that he's incapable
of. Do they
of.
Cover that in Everyone Poops?
Yeah, he says, "Oh, Dad, I think somebody pooped in here."
Really
and
cute.
I said, "Oscar, I just tooted." Which is what we call farts. Was
oh,
a toot.
I understand. I follow.
Yeah.
I said, "Oscar, Oscar, sweetie."
But sure, yeah.
"Oscar, sweetie, I tooted,
Wait, what?
You know." Everybody.
You whatted?
Everybody toots.
You guys don't say fart?
A toot.
Is that considered a bad word?
To explain to you, Tig, mm-hmm. a toot is it's like a digital audio program
okay.
that's distributed via RSS feed. So
okay.
subscribers get it every week.
Uh-huh.
So you could record it anywhere. You don't have to record it in a radio studio. So I tooted. I said, "Oscar, I tooted. You know, I don't know what to tell you. Everybody toots sometimes. You toot sometimes too." And he said, "No, it smells like poop. I think somebody pooped in here."
He wasn't buying yeah. your story.
They're like, "No, you, Dad, you shit your pants. Don't try and play grown up with me."
"Oh, I think somebody pooped
Oscar's
in here."
Oscar's a great name.
He's a great kid. He's a fun guy.
Do you not? Do you guys not say fart? Is that a? Is that considered a bad word? Like if they went to school and said fart, would they get a?
Jordan wants to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah,
all families.
And I mean the bottom.
All families have. All families have a
Toots.
Word for farts.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know that? I got into when I was doing the turnaround. I got into an extensive conversation with America's sweetheart Katie Couric about this subject.
What does she call farts in her family?
What did she call farts? Nick, you were the producer of this show. I think it was bunts.
Bunts.
I believe it was bunts. That is correct. Good work, Nick.
Well, that ruins a whole kind of cake for the
our
family.
Our neighborhood.
But
our
famously,
neighbor, when I was little, our neighbor's child called them helicopters.
That's really good.
Well, our friend.
Come out with your hands up.
Our friend Dave Shumka of the hit podcast Stop Podcasting Yourself, one of my favorite podcasts, he famously didn't have he wasn't allowed to say the word fart in mm-hmm. his house. In his house, they were called dirts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to say fart, you would say – he said like you wanted – like if somebody had said fart, you wanted to accuse them. You say, "Oh, he said F word for dirts."
Mm.
Yeah.
I think we – we did pass gas, I think.
Mm-hmm. Pass gas is grosser to me.
Oh, sure. Same. I think fart is the way to go. I think to me, don't say anything but fart.
Well, what about toot? You don't like toot?
I don't like toot.
Toot, toot.
Yeah.
Like
know.
A tugboat.
There's something sinister about it.
Stephanie yeah. wants our kids to say floof.
Floof. Yeah, she's right. Go with that.
You don't like
floof.
It.
I do like floof.
You do?
I think floof is great.
You picked the right lady.
Well, our cat's name is Fluff, and uh-huh. so sometimes we've accidentally been calling her floof.
Yeah, that could cause some confusion later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she didn't even smell.
Yeah, I was going to say, how does your cat smell?
Delightful.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Let's take another
Sounds
call.
Like a threat.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to fart on her cat.
Hi, Jordan and Jesse. This is Nathan in Louisville with a momentous occasion. The upstairs neighbor in my duplex has been dating this guy who's a real turd. They fight all night, and then when she goes to work, he just stomps around up there singing Creed and Nickelback songs a cappella for 6 hours. And my hatred for this man burns with the fire of a thousand suns. And Friday, he got some mail delivered to my mailbox by accident, and out of curiosity, I Googled his name and found out that he is, in fact, a very bad dude on the run from the law. So I snitched on him. And yesterday morning, a van pulled up and just snatched his ass up like something out of a Tom Clancy movie. And now my house is quiet again. So that's my momentous occasion. Get him, get him, get him. An addendum to this story, he apparently did not use his one phone call to let her know what happened to him. So now I have to keep this secret for the rest of my life. All right, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's that's huge. What do you think it was the lead singer of either Creed or Nickelback?
Yeah, which one
are
is
they not the,
same?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just one guy who goes like this.
Right, yeah, from 1994 to 1999, it was just one guy.
Sang in all bands.
Sometimes you would add a guy who rapped, but it was just that one guy and occasionally the other guy who rapped.
It was the guy's name was Eddie Vedder, too. Mm-hmm, it was sort of the Gallagher, too, to Eddie Vedder's Eddie Vedder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I feel like... What I need to know is what kind of bad dude the dude was. Because if the dude was, if it was,
and was he so bad? Was he a bad enough dude to save the president?
Right.
From an old video game.
It's from a Nintendo game.
I don't even ask or worry anymore.
Don't sweat it. This game when you started. Yeah. The general asked you, "Are you a bad enough dude to save the president?"
I think that it has to be a pretty significant amount of badness.
Yeah. Like,
it can't just be a van.
It can't just be bad checks or something. You know what I mean?
No.
Because when I think of van, you know, I mean, you could send a cruiser for the guy.
Right.
But it's like, this guy is so bad that we need the extra restraints that are probably in this van. I guess
Just let him, you know, bounce all around without a seatbelt because he's so bad.
We're just going to go to a bunch of sudden stops.
Yeah.
My immediate
speed bumps.
Take some turns real fast.
Yeah. My immediate thought was, what if he was a supervillain?
No, sure.
Not necessarily a supervillain with powers so much as like a Batman, like super strong, smart, regular guy.
Yeah.
Super villain. That's why he would need the special.
Right. He's just
the
like
van.
A dangerous. Maybe,
just,
yeah.
He's power.
He's like a, you know, he's like a cast off from a government super soldier program.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm thinking. And he ended up becoming a notorious bank robber.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, I guess his only hope now is to get recruited as some sort of suicide squad.
Right.
And then you can...
Yeah.
Pay your debt to society that way, but
I mean
what are the chances of that?
If they're making Pacific Rim 2, they might be starting a new suicide squad.
They should use this guy from our caller's neighborhood.
Yeah. Maybe it was Idris Elba.
Could have been Idris Elba.
Would you have called?
He's good in everything.
If somebody was annoying you?
Oh boy. I don't know. I would have been afraid to go through the mail. This guy is way snoopier than I would have been, you know.
But he didn't open the mail.
I wouldn't have even looked at the mail.
But you might have seen the name on the mail.
I wouldn't touch someone's mail. I have respect for the mail.
The mail was misdelivered to the caller.
I closed my eyes and groped around for the other person's apartment so I don't violate federal law.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I'm not about to be thrown into some sort of suicide squad.
Because we admit that we would look at the name on the envelope, a van pulls up and hauls us off, me and Jesse.
Well,
and then they're
you
like,
would...
we're going to leave Jordan alone because he yeah. respects
publicly
the law.
Publicly admitted.
Yeah.
I have a neighbor who once called and threatened me over the phone by saying that she was a lioness and that I shouldn't cross her.
Mm-hmm.
And...
How did she get your number?
She was our neighbor, so we had exchanged numbers.
Sure, like you do. Yeah,
taking it Taro style.
Their dog.
Frankly.
Yeah.
Planning dinners.
She was upset about the location of the fence between our respective properties.
All right.
Classic neighbor argument.
It was the most classic neighbor argument in existence. And she was brutally mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not a physical threat, a 65-year-old woman, but I don't know, pretty high-level Scientologist. She might have mind powers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I found out that she was on the run from the law, I would turn her in.
Okay.
I mean, for one thing, you have a civic duty because this person has conducted a series of prominent bank thefts.
Mm-hmm.
I love my neighbors. I will not turn them in.
Really?
I think I've made that
clear. You'll keep their secret.
Their babies.
To the grave.
Dogs.
This is how we ended up with Whitey Bulger in Santa Monica.
Mm.
Somebody
just
was
nice
annoyed.
Nice neighbors keeping things under wraps.
He was walking around his house singing Dean Martin songs or whatever.
I know people that have been threatened by Whitey.
Really? Personally?
Mm-hmm.
In Santa Monica or?
No, that moved to the mountains in Colorado.
to get away from Whitey Bulger in Boston.
And now they're not scared or hiding anymore.
Sure. They don't even wear clothes anymore.
Yeah.
That's how free they are.
Right.
Did they go see the movie about him?
I don't know. I haven't followed up. I think around the last time I talked to them was...
retreating to the mountains.
No. When I was like, why do you live out here?
Mm-hmm. We're having some Whitey Bulger issues.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't have got mixed up in that stuff.
Yeah.
I know I can't speak for you, Tig, but I know that Jordan and myself would never get mixed up in stuff like that.
No, I don't even read anybody's mail. I wouldn't touch another man's mail.
Well, the guy I know living in the mountains, he witnessed something.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
That Whitey had done.
Unwittingly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of intrigue in this week's episode.
Yeah. This is thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really deadly game of cat and mouse.
Sure.
I was not expecting. Bring in Ashley Judd. Let's get Ashley Judd in here.
She's good in everything.
She is. She's good in everything. Great, bold hairstyle.
I met her in D.C.
How'd
really?
That go?
It went fine.
Yeah, good.
Stephanie loves her.
Were you both like visiting your congressperson? Or?
I have a comedy festival out there.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ashley Judd's been doing a lot of stand-up.
Gosh, that's not where I met her. She didn't do my festival. I'm so used to being in D.C. for the Benson Ball. I was out there for the Women's March.
Ah.
And I was performing, and she was speaking.
That's a good place to see Judd.
Yeah. So we got a picture with her because Stephanie does really love her so much. And
what are the circumstances? I have nothing but respect for Ashley Judd, who's a fine actress, a beautiful woman, comes from a great line.
Mm-hmm.
However, what are the circumstances in which somebody really comes to love Ashley Judd?
Well, I think it was the movie. I can't even remember the name of it. It's
something with like Morgan Freeman.
A wedding movie of some sort.
A wedding movie?
Mm.
It's a Southern.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, Judd's Dread.
Well, Stephanie wanted Ashley Judd to play my mother in flashbacks on One Mississippi.
Oh.
And she was basing this on a performance that Ashley Judd did in some movie.
I like the actress who plays your mom in flashbacks. She's very good.
Oh, you've seen?
I have.
She's phenomenal.
She's terrific.
Yeah.
And she's no Judd.
I think she's Judd and then some. I think she's Judd plus.
She's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, she's no Ashley. She's no Winona.
I love the guy who plays your brother, too. He's terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no word of liking my stepfather. That's the immediate go-to.
Oh, yeah?
People. They're just obsessed with him.
I think he's also very good. But can you believe? And I don't recognize either of them. Was your flashback mom and your brother? I thought they were.
You know,
and your great.
You know who I think is great? Tig Notaro.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
But
I said, get out of the way. Let's see what that brother's up to.
I think he's phenomenal.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's great.
But part of what I wanted to do with the show was to not have obviously recognizable people.
Yeah.
I mean, Casey Wilson was on it, and of course. John Rothman, who plays my stepfather, is in a lot of Meryl Streep's films, and people have been around, but I didn't want to just litter it with just famous people.
I like that about it. I feel like there's like types of shows you feel like, you know, like, oh, there's those people who are great who I have seen in 10 other things.
Yeah.
But I like that a lot about the show.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I would have loved to see like an Eric Estrada.
Season 3.
Just
get him in there.
Just a little Eric Estrada.
The character that plays my mother, there was a million suggestions for her and people wanting really famous people to play that part.
Mm-hmm.
And
Olympia Dukakis.
No. But it was just such a part that I couldn't just hire somebody just because they were famous or
right
and nobody was right forever and ever and ever. And then I said, can I just go down to casting and look through all of the people that you didn't send to me?
Right. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Right, because the casting people kind of narrow it down and they send you their faves.
Well, and producers and network and studio were sending famous people right. my way. The one person I wanted that was famous was my brain is completely
Don Johnson.
From
give us a ball. Is there a ballpark? Is Cheech, there a genre that she
Cheech
is famous
Marin.
For? This is fun.
She's in
Nash
Urban
Bridges
Cowboy.
From Nash Bridges.
Oh boy.
John Travolta.
She's been in so many other movies. I can't believe I'm blanking. I love her so much. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she was not available because she was doing Ashton Kutcher's new Netflix show.
The Ranch.
Yeah, who's that?
I don't know.
Sam Elliott.
Debbie.
Listen, I've picked a streaming service and I'm sticking
Winger.
With it.
Deborah Winger.
Oh, okay.
Deborah Winger. That's who I wanted for my mother. She was not available, but she wrote me a nice email and that was a
nice.
Highlight. But I went down to casting and looked through all the videos. I didn't even have to press play. I just looked at the different videos paused.
Yeah.
Where they start.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw her, I was like, who is this? And pressed play. And I was like, that's my mother.
Hmm.
That's exactly my mother. So it was pretty exciting to find her.
She's great. It's a really like particular part. It's not just like suburban mom. Like it's really specific and mm-hmm. she does a great job with it.
We didn't do flashback second season, but the one thing we didn't quite convey about my mother was how funny she was.
Mm-hmm.
But this actress does convey the power and strength of my mother, which was impressive. And I always felt like I was on set with my mother.
Hmm.
It wasn't just like, oh, she's doing a great job playing my mother.
That sounds more disconcerting than enjoyable.
It was actually really enjoyable. It was comforting because there were even moments. My mother had already died when I had cancer. And there's this moment in the first season when my mother comes to my hospital bed and is caring for me-ish. It's kind of a weird scene. But when we shot that scene, I was overcome with emotion because I didn't have my mother. My mother had died just before I was diagnosed.
Like genuinely overcome with emotion on
genuinely.
The set.
Genuinely.
As though you had met a neighborhood dog or baby.
Exactly. As though a neighborhood dog with a top hat had walked up to my hospital bed and said, I love you, and ran her hand through my hair. Ran her paw through my hair. So.
If you happen to meet a dog with a top hat, give us a call, 206-984-4FUN.
Oh, the phones are ringing off the hook.
They are. They are. I want to hear, we had two dudes this week. I want to hear some lady calls.
Sure.
Ladies, where are you? 206-984-4FUN. Put it in your phone. We want to hear your voices.
Yeah.
Your voices are welcome here. Men presume their voices are welcome in American culture.
Yeah.
We want to make it clear this is a space where your voices are welcome. 206-984-4FUN. My voice naturally makes that sound insincere, but it was sincere. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
I love it.
Good
man,
stuff
every time. Well, I hope that you're enjoying this podcast you're listening to as much as we are pretending to. But anyway, why not listen to another podcast too? It's called The Flop House.
And on our podcast, we have recently watched a movie, often a bad movie, and we review it on our podcast, but mainly talk about other stuff and, I don't know, hang out.
It's all about hanging out, feeling like you're being with your best friends. Who are your best friends? Us three. Dan McCoy, Emmy Award-winning writer for The Daily Show, Stuart Wellington, owner of the best bar in Brooklyn, Hinterlands, and Elliot Kalin, former Emmy-winning head writer for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, former head writer of Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return, so many things. Author of the upcoming children's book,
All right, that's enough.
The Elliot's credits just go on and on.
Yeah, but if you like the idea of listening to three funny guys talk about bad movies, then why not come over and listen to The Flop House? It's available at MaximumFun.org or wherever fine podcasts are found.
So get out of here. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like...
Why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek?
Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Butts, 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 butts.
No. Will you change your mind?
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Tig Notaro.
Good pronunciation.
Thank you.
Good pronunciation.
The tip of the tongue, good. The teeth and the lips. Red leather, yellow leather.
Red leather.
What to do
here.
To die today?
Such good diction.
Such good diction.
Okay, this I'm Tempest. I'm just a little bit. This is creepy in my earphones.
Tempest this. Flux.
Yeah,
Tempest
Flux.
Tempest Flux. I'm looking forward to the Tempest Flux fan art, by the way.
Sure.
I feel like Adventure Zone gets all the fucking fan art. Where's our Tempest Flux fan art?
Yeah. I'll draw it.
Draw the Flux.
Thank you,
Tig. You're really busy. And
no,
we
no,
appreciate
no.
you
no,
taking
no, no.
time.
I have plenty free time
oh, okay.
with twins and
sure.
other things.
Your own television so, program, your stand-up and, career, tending to your marriage.
Sure.
Family, of course, even like extended family and so on.
Petting dogs and
dogs.
Waving to neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Travel time.
Mm-hmm. Podcasts.
Both locally and flights.
Yeah, regionally.
sure.
Locally, regionally, statewide, nationwide, sometimes internationally.
Correct.
Going back and forth to our nation's capital, of course.
But still here.
Yeah.
To do fan art.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you.
And shows that I appear on.
The most important work, some
mm-hmm.
call it.
Yeah. Well, we're grateful to have you here sketching,
mm-hmm.
Bringing us your fond reminiscences from the set of your hit show One Mississippi on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
What do they call that? Amazon Video? Amazon Prime Video?
I think it's Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Is it just Amazon,
it's Amazon
Prime
Amazon Video,
now?
Free for Prime subscribers.
Oh, Amazon okay. Video, free for Prime subscribers?
Yeah, which you paid for, which
yeah.
means it wasn't free.
Sure.
Yeah. I pay for Prime. They don't give me.
Really?
Yeah.
You're one of the stars of Prime.
I am.
But you still fork over the $80 a year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a real turkey for missing that Whit Stillman show that they had on Prime for a minute and then they took it down from Prime. I missed it. I love Whit Stillman.
Just yanking stuff off Prime, huh?
They might yank mine right off Prime.
I don't. That would be fools to yank it off the Prime.
They
fools.
Might. We don't
it's
know
a
if there's a season
show.
Three.
I watch, you know what I watch, speaking of Prime?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, what Prime shows we love? Well, of course, we love One Mississippi.
Sure.
Starring and created by the great Tig Notaro.
Tig Notaro.
Tig Notaro. Tig.
But we have a Jordan Jesse Go listener who... created, I think,
mm-hmm.
The Amazon Prime children's show Danger and Eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And I was...
I think the staff of that show has several Jordan Jesse Go fans on it.
There you go.
And yeah, it's a great show. I don't have kids, but I like to check out the tunes every now and then.
You have a cat.
I have a cat.
Yeah.
She needs entertainment, and
sure.
I don't like her to see a lot of violence.
Right.
It's just all over the place these days, you know?
Yeah. Very irreverent. I enjoyed it very much. I watch it with my children.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great show.
Yeah.
If you got some kids, throw
and
that
I
on.
Do.
Huh?
I
and
do.
And you do.
Did you let your kids watch TV young?
At 14 months? are they even capable of watching television at that age?
Yeah.
No, they read.
No, my boys are obsessed with books
yeah.
to the point where I'm truly trying to figure out ways to get them to stop reading because
they're going to be Poindexters.
They just constantly putting books in my lap and it's like, we already went over this. This is a banana. It's a monkey. It's
sure.
a squirrel.
Like a dog bringing you a tennis ball.
Yes, yeah. exactly.
Yeah. With our first child, mm-hmm. Grace, we made it all the way to 2.
Mm-hmm.
But with Oscar, who is 2.5 years younger than Grace, you know, there's no way.
Free for all.
There's no way to segregate them such that one watches it and the other one doesn't. And there are some times when you need your 4-year-old to watch television.
Yeah.
You need to narcotize your child, essentially. And so, so I think we only made it to a year and a half or so with Oscar. And, you know, Oscar hates books and learning now. So there you go. It definitely poisoned his mind. All he really cares about is,
Really?
Yeah. Just poisoned his little.
Because we'll let our sons watch a little bit here and there.
He's sweet as an oatmeal cookie. Don't get me wrong. He's a sweet kid.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, just his mind's been poisoned. Mm. No sense of inquisitiveness.
We wish they enjoy the TV more than they do.
Mm.
They will.
Well, I mean, it's the golden age of TV. There's so much on.
The books.
How do they do they like prestige dramas?
Mm-hmm. That pretty much just one Mississippi.
Right.
Well, that's all they're watching. Yeah.
That's sort of a comic drama.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of comedy in there. Yeah.
A lot of comedy. A lot of cartoons and.
Right.
Yeah. Nonstop silliness.
Sure. Well, you have stop motion elements.
Sure.
I mean, I thought the stop motion was some of the most compelling stuff because you could really feel handmade.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could see the artist's fingerprints on it. Sure.
Yeah. And some people say your show's over art directed. You know, the way you center everything in frame, and the curtains always open at the beginning of each act, and all that stuff. But I find that stuff charming. I mean, call me crazy, but I've always found it charming.
Thank you.
Corduroy suits. Everyone's wearing a corduroy suit.
Thank you.
Matching luggage sets. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. And I really get a kick out of it. And I'm looking forward to your new animated dog project.
I can't wait. The animated top hat dog.
Dick Notaro, thank you for joining us on Jordan Jesse Go.
Thanks for having me.
It's always nice to see you. Dick Notaro, if you haven't watched One Mississippi yet, get on that Amazon Prime. You know you got it. You got it so you could get free shipping on your batteries.
Mm-hmm. And if you're in D.C., go to the Benson Ball.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, what do you got coming up at the Benson Ball?
Oh, my gosh. Al Franken's going to be there.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Cheryl Hines, How Did This Get Made will be there.
Oh, HDTGM.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great show. Would you say the highlight of the Benson Ball all time, the many years that you've been doing it, was the time that I asked Ian MacKay of Fugazi how he felt about Todd Barry's joke about Ian MacKay of Fugazi while Todd Barry was in the room, but then it turned out that Todd Barry had left to go to the bathroom.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That is the highlight. Mm-hmm. It's all anybody talks about. You were there the first year.
Yeah. Ian MacKay knows about the joke and thinks it's hilarious. MacKay is a class act.
Mm-hmm.
You should get him to try stand-up. He's maybe the most serious man in the history of the world.
A lot of comedians are.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
They're not all frivolous like you.
Yeah, that's true.
Not just a bunch of dogs in top hats. Nick Liao on the boards for us this week, our producer at home with his puppy. Brian sent us an email. Sorry, guys, I have to take care of my puppy. Fine. That's
fine. An adorable excuse.
It's an adorable excuse. It's a cute puppy.
It's a cute cop out.
I mean, it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm,
There's
sure.
no doubt about that. You fucking get your act together, Brian. Mm-hmm. We'll wait 6 months for you to come home from England. I got a new puppy. I got to take care of this puppy instead of paying attention to my real children, Jesse and Jordan of the hit podcast Jordan Jesse Go. Brian Sonny D. Fernandez is our producer on the program. Nick Liao, though, on the boards this week. Don't remember the name of Brian's puppy right now, but it is a hell of a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real cute puppy. Our friend Renee Colvert's dog is named Tugboat.
Sure.
Met that dog today.
Check that dog out on Instagram.
God,
it's a good name. It's a really good name.
It's a great home. This dog is a doozy.
Yeah.
This dog is a wonder. What a joy, this dog. And I am not putting down your cat, Tig.
I feel like you were. I feel like it was a direct attack on my precious kitten.
No, I mean, I'd love to see this dog attack your kitten, but...
Please.
Oh boy.
I would never do anything like that.
This really took a turn.
Personally.
Yeah, geez.
Tig Notaro, thank you for joining us this week on Jordan Jesse Go.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you next time.
I love you too.
On Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.